Word of God. The book of Numbers. And I would like to point your attention to chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 this evening, please. There is where the text will be tonight, Numbers 11. I've taken the liberty to enlarge the chapter. I've got it in front of me here, as you have in your Bibles there. My Bible's small print, and this helps me immensely. The heart of the text is the last paragraph of the chapter, but I feel like I have to lay a bit of a foundation in order to get there. As you know, I'm preaching this week on the birds of the Bible. There will be some birds in tonight's text as well. Numbers 11, verse 1. It's called the context. And when the people, would you give me that next word? When the people complained. The word means to grumble or to murmur. The people complained. When they did, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. You don't reckon He hears when we complain, do you? And His anger was kindled. It means to be made hot. And the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp, the fringe area. And the people cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. God judged their complaining. Verse 3, they called the name of the place Taberah. Taberah means burning, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. There are three major episodes where God's people grumbled and complained. Taberah is one of them. Here, they're just grumbling and complaining in a general sense. They're not satisfied with the things of God. I'm going to need an amen. We still grumble today, all of us. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them. I'd like to just say something about that word, mixed multitude. Well, it looks like two words. It's one in Hebrew. It is in our Bibles a hapax legomenon. What in the world is that? Hapax legomenon. It is a word that occurs once and once only in all the Word of God. Mixed multitude. Who are they? They're not Jews. They're Egyptians. They're Gentiles who for some reason wanted to come with Israel as they were liberated, redeemed, as they came out of the land of Egypt. I don't know how to address it. I just know the mixed multitude were a hindrance to Israel all her years in the wilderness. Mixed multitude. The Hebrew there carries the idea of the refuse, the rabble, the offscouring. Boy, I don't know how to preach this. I'm afraid even in our good Bible-believing churches tonight, there's still some who belong to the crowd, like the mixed multitude. Don't know this to be true, would not say it's true, but it would not surprise me that in as good a place as First Baptist Church of Fletcher, in our midst, are many, many, many who are saved. There well could be some who are not. How did the mixed multitude get in with the Jews? What was their motive? Maybe they saw God's blessings and wanted to be a part of that. Maybe they were sick and tired of Pharaoh and all of his dictatorial power, and they wanted liberty from that. Don't know how they got in, but I know they're the ones that are leading the grumbling and the complaining that take place. Didn't Jesus say something about anybody that sows wheat, there will be tares among the wheat? That's exactly the principle here. Verse 4, the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. Lusting, craving, desiring. And the children of Israel also wept. Oh, look at this. They're dissatisfied. They've been grumbling. God's already sent a fire indicative of his wrath, and some of them died. Moses prayed, and God removed the plague. But all of a sudden, the mixed multitude, when you listen to me, they're at it again. They're grumbling some more. I want to make a statement, see how you respond. I'm afraid grumbling can be a habit. It can become a habit. Wouldn't be surprised, it could become a lifestyle. It's not just an Old Testament phenomenon. It occurred in the New Testament too. It is Paul who wrote in Philippians 2, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 4, it's a mixed multitude. But look, a few words later, and the children of Israel also wept. They also grumbled and complained. These are tears of dissatisfaction. Not only can grumbling become a habit, will I get an amen? I just don't know. Grumbling can spread like wildfire. I'm thinking of a New Testament example. Mary had just anointed the feet of Jesus with that expensive spikenard, that ointment. She was preparing him for burial, our Lord admits. And one man, Judas, this is John's account, Judas began to grumble. He said, that's wasted money. That should have been taken and sold, and we could have given to the poor, grumbling about Mary's worship of Jesus. One man grumbling. When Mark gives the same account, Mark says they anointed Jesus' feet and said, and some of them murmured. It was one man in John's account. Now it's some of them when we get to Mark's account. Matthew reports it too. But Matthew says this, and all the disciples complained. All the disciples, went from one man to a group of people to every one of the disciples. That, by the way, grumbling is contagious, but hallelujah, praise can be contagious also. I know which side of that equation I want to be on. The Jews, verse 4, they have begun to complain. And they said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We want to eat some meat. Some flesh. What's that all about? Had God not been taking care of them? Well, he certainly had. He had been raining food, R-A-I-N, raining food called manna down. Every morning it was there, except the sixth day of the week, and it was there in double fashion. God, I need an amen, God had been feeding them well. But all of a sudden, they're not satisfied just with manna. They want a new taste. They want something different. They want meat. They want flesh to eat. Verse 5. The leaders are the mixed multitude, probably not saved. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. and the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. I'd like to say that's a weird set of things to be craving right there. Doesn't appeal to me a whole lot. My wife, completely intolerant of garlic, so I know that. But now, with God's food, with the manna, our soul is dried away. And there's nothing at all, there's nothing to eat beside this manna. Can you hear it in a disparaging way? This manna, which is before our eyes, not happy with God's provision, criticizing this manna, which is before our eyes. The Holy Ghost can't let them talk against the manna without describing it in a positive way. Look at verse 7. The manna was as coriander seed. The color is the color of bdellium. And elsewhere the Holy Ghost says it was sweet to the taste, like wafers and honey. Elsewhere the Holy Ghost calls it angel's food. Elsewhere he calls it the bread of heaven, the grain of heaven. God's pretty satisfied with the way he's feeding his people. By the way, he's still feeding us pretty good today. The manna we call the precious word of God. Verse 8, the manna. And the people went about, they gathered it, they ground it, they beat it, and they baked it in pans and made cakes. The taste of it was like fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. But they don't like God's manna. They're unhappy with God's manna, and they're grumbling about this heavenly food. Verse 10. Remember, I'm telling you, grumbling spreads. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. And Moses was also, give me that next word, Moses was also displeased. Moses not happy either now. This is a man who's seen God 40 days on the mountaintop. This is a man who received the Decalogue, the law. In fact, the entire law. And Moses said unto the Lord, why, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found faith? Moses begins to grumble. Moses begins to complain. Are y'all watching this? The mixed multitude out there on the fringes of the camp, then the people of Israel, and now Moses is not real happy. Moses says, God, you put too much on me. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to continue to handle this load. Look at verse 15. Kill me, I pray thee. If you're going to deal thus with me, kill me. And if I found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Moses is now grumbling. Are y'all okay so far? Doesn't even sound like a revival sermon, does it? Hadn't heard a bit of shouting during the preaching. I was about to shout myself during the singing. Some of you were. Praise God. Wait a minute. Verse 16. I got to read 16 and 17, and I'll try to do so. The Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel. Look at me just a second. Moses said, it's too much. I'm tired of it. Don't think I can go on any longer. In a spirit of displeasure, in a spirit of no longer happy with everything God, he'd been happy with everything God said, and now he's not. And God said, okay, I'll get you some help. I'll get you some help. If you don't think you can do it, I'll get somebody who can help carry the load. Let's keep reading. I'm in verse 16, gather to me 70 men of the elders, whom thou knowest to be the elders. Get some officers and bring them to the tabernacle, that they may stand there with thee. And I, God, I will come down and I'll talk with thee there. Watch this closely. I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and I'll put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Brother Roy, I'm going to preach about 3 minutes here and get right back to my reading because I haven't yet reached my text. Lord, it's too much. It's too hard on me. Don't think I can go on. I'm about as displeased as they are. And God said, okay. Watch what God did not say. God did not say, I'm going to pour the Holy Ghost out on them just like I poured him out on you. God did not say that. God said, I'm taking the Spirit from you and I will put the Spirit upon them. Am I okay so far? I will take the Spirit from off you and I will put it upon them. I want to be sure I'm getting that. I'll take of the Spirit which is upon thee and I will put it upon them. Here's what I want you to see. Moses thought his load was too heavy. Felt like he needed some help. I can't be God to these people. I can't supply all of these needs. And God said, okay, Moses, I've given you power. I've given you the Holy Ghost. I've given you wisdom, the Spirit of the Lord. I'll just take from you and I'll put... Moses got his help all right, need an amen, but he lost some power in the process. I've about made up my mind I'm going to keep my big mouth shut. And I'm going to carry the load God put on me. And I'm going to thank him for every blessing he sends my way. I don't want to lose. And we can't lose the presence of the Holy Ghost today. But I'm telling you, we sure can lose his power. We sure can lose his joy. We sure can lose his discernment and his wisdom that he put. I don't want to lose my power before God. Grumbling. Will it cause you to die and go to hell? It won't if you've ever been saved in the first place. Somebody help me out. But grumbling can cost you a lot. Can cost you your usefulness. It can cost you your joy. And it can cost you your victory. Some of y'all going to have to loosen up a little bit. I see your halo shining. I would think I'm preaching to a congregation of angels who have never grumbled once in their whole life. You little boogers, I know you better than that. As you know me better than that. My wife's sitting over there, so I know I got to admit to grumbling. Verse 18. Say to the people. All right, I got to ask this. Talk to me. You get the idea God's a little bit fed up with their grumbling. Already sent fire once. Now, let me just read my text. Verse 18. Say to the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Ye shall eat. Give me that word. Ye shall eat. You want flesh? You're not satisfied with the manna? I think I can meet your need. You shall eat flesh. I want to make this announcement. See if anybody's smiling. God's fixing to give them just what they wanted. You shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who'll give us flesh to eat? It was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. I'm at verse 19. I'm fixing to read it. Ye shall not eat it one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days. I can't believe this. Neither 10 days, nor 20 days. But even, tell me, even a whole what? Month till it come out at your, can you believe God said this? Till it come out at your nostrils and it be loathsome. It makes you sick. You ever heard of too much of a good thing? This may be too much of a bad thing. I don't know. Because ye have despised the Lord. which is among you, and you've wept uncontrollably. They have wept grumbling spirit, saying, why came we forth at? Notice, God equates grumbling against him with despising his name. With despising his name. As I studied today, a very learned Bible scholar said this. There are two sins wrapped up in our grumbling. Two sins automatically wrapped up in our. Number one, he said it's the sin of unbelief. The sin of unbelief. I'm going to say this. And I want to watch. I do every time I pray. Christians can commit the sin of unbelief also. I don't know about that. Oh, the whole book of Hebrews talks about an unbelieving generation. They had trusted Jesus. They had believed on Jesus, but they were about to go back to the law. They were about to, that was the danger of the Galatians, about to go back. Unbelief, unbelief. If you're here tonight, even though you're saved, you doubt God can meet a need. You doubt God can work that miracle. You may be guilty. I might be guilty of the sin of unbelief. Unbelief is one. Here's the other one. Inherent in the sin of grumbling, unbelief, ungratefulness, not being thankful for God's goodness. Do you know what they should have been doing? They should have been out there picking up the manna that morning and saying, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. I'll guarantee you that. You talk about a one-a-day multiple vitamin. Think what must have been built into that manna to keep them healthy. They didn't have any doctors with them. God said, I'll heal you of all the diseases you had over yonder in Egypt. Thank God. Thank God. They're ungrateful for the things of God. I don't know. I doubt I should even be going here in my thoughts. You don't reckon that when we grumble and when we complain, we're also guilty of unbelief and we're also guilty of ungratefulness too. We are. We are. Verses 21 through 29, I don't know if I even ought to read them. Can I tell you about them? And not read them and just because I got to get to verse 30. I've been preaching 23 minutes. I can't believe that. I've got to get to verse 30. All right, Moses, get the 70 elders. Bring them out here and I'm going to take the spirit off you. And I'm going to put it on them. And God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And then watch this. As soon as the Spirit came upon these 70 elders, oh, somebody will smile at me, they began to preach. They began to prophesy, is our King James word. Everybody's not a called preacher. I fully understand that. But we are all commissioned to go into all the world and share or carry the gospel to every creature. Could I get an amen? You let the good Holy Ghost come upon us. You let the Spirit of God infiltrate us and fill us. We will be witnesses, same idea, to the glory of our Heavenly Father. Oh, one more thing in the verses I'm not going to read. Somebody came running up to Moses huffing and puffing. Saying they're not but 68. I counted. They're not but 68 of them out here. That was accurate because two of them stayed back in the camp. I don't know why. We're not told why two of them. They didn't join the crowd. They didn't run with the majority. We know their names. God saw fit. Eldad and Medad. And when the Spirit of God fell on those 70, 68 of them prophesying out there around the tabernacle, Eldad and Medad in town, hope you'll smile at me, they cut loose preaching too. Eldad's over there on the street corner preaching, Medad's preaching. I wish I had time to tell you their names. It's a whole sermon within itself. And a young man said, Moses, Moses, there are two of them that aren't doing right. There are two of them that are different. There are two of them that didn't join our crowd. And this is what Moses said, leave them alone. I need a better amen than that. Leave them alone. Let me preach about that just a minute. We're all guilty of that group mentality that says if they don't run with our crowd, if they're not part of us, God can't be on them. God can't be using them. Why, let's rebuke them. Let's separate from. I want to make an announcement. Somebody loves Jesus. Somebody's full of the Holy Ghost. They're preaching the Word of God. Let them alone, whether they're in our crowd or not. Thank God for them. Let's bid them Godspeed. Hallelujah. I'm so sick and tired of the petty fussing and fighting that goes on in God's crowd. Ah, they're not of us. They're not in our circle. They don't belong to our clique. If God's on them, hallelujah. In Philippians 1, Paul's in jail and he's locked up. He can't preach the gospel. He's incarcerated. And somebody came and said, there's a crowd of them out there and they're preaching Jesus. And it's the boys that hate you. They're preaching despite you. Paul, you can't. And so they're about to take over out there. And Paul smiled and said, I know. I've heard about that. But said, I rejoice either way. Whether they love me or hate me, Jesus Christ is being preached, and I'll just praise my Savior. That's the attitude that we need. Y'all okay so far? Now y'all ready to begin our text? Well, I thought some of you would smile. Verse number 30. Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. They're going back into the camp. Why are they going back into the camp, preacher? Judgment is about to fall. The wrath of God is about to be poured out on a grumbling, ungrateful people. And God's getting his choice servants, if I get an amen, out of the way. He's carrying them out from where the burning judgment is going to occur. Oh my, I've got to try to preach this. Brother Gentry, pray for me. I believe this earth is facing, and it could be soon, a 7-year period of time, tribulation. In fact, great tribulation in the last 3.5 years of it. And it's as sure as I'm standing here. Daniel said it was going to happen. Jeremiah said it was going to happen. Isaiah said it was going to happen. Zechariah said it was going to happen. Jesus said it was going to happen. Matthew said it was going to happen. And it's going to happen. But what if I told you, I think God's got him a choice handful. God's got him a select body. He's going to take out of all this mess before the judgment falls. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Going to need some amens. I'm talking about the rapture, thank God. Does anybody here believe he's coming again to get us? I not only believe in the rapture, I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. I believe he's taking us to heaven before the judge. I believe he's going to protect us from the hour of trial that's coming on. Anybody with me on that? They got from the peripheral area. They got into the heart of the camp. Plus, it could be this. They know some kind of flesh is coming. They've asked her, and they know they're going to be enough to eat for 30 days or a month. Watch now. Somebody will smile, I think. Maybe they just don't have any appetite for quail. Preacher, that doesn't make a lick of sense. Maybe this will. Maybe they just like the taste of manna. Hallelujah. I'll try to prove it to you if I have time. It's not looking good. Maybe I ought to just insert it right here. In the Bible, that manna is a picture of the Word of Almighty God. It can be a picture of Jesus. He is the man. But it can be a picture of the Word of God. Hey, let me... Manna, it came down from heaven. Where in the world do you think the Word of God came from? It came from heaven. The manna's coming was miraculous. It was a man. Hey, our Bible we're holding in our hand is absolutely a miracle. And that manna, did you know they had to go out there and gather that manna? There wasn't an angel that put it on the kitchen table every morning. If you're going to learn that book, you're going to have to get off your stool or do nothing. You're going to have to go out there and gather some truth. Gather some nuggets out of that book. And I already told you it tasted like wafers with honey. I'm telling you, thank God, there's some sweet places in that book right there. Maybe they loved the manna and they didn't have to have the flesh, the meat of this. And those quails came up from Egypt. It's a type of the world. And we Christians eat way too much the garbage of the world and not enough the pure Word of God. They removed themselves. Verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord. Ruach, R-U-A-C-H, Hebrew, wind. Does anybody in this building believe God is the author of the wind? We sing it, don't we? The winds and the waves obey His will. Peace, peace, be still. David went to war once. He couldn't attack till the wind was blowing, rustling the tops of the mulberry trees. On the day of Pentecost, the indication the Holy Ghost is fallen. One of them, there was the sound of a rushing, you tell me, mighty wind. Jesus in His resurrected body looked at the disciples in John 20 and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And He breathed wind, a puff of air. He breathed on them. Oh my, we sang Spirit of the Living God, fall fresh on me. He can breathe all over me anytime He wants to. Hallelujah. Wind from the Lord. This week I'm preaching the birds of the Bible. You're aware of that. You're reading the little booklet or listening to the CD. God's laid on my heart this. Don't know when I'll get to preach it. I'm in the studying process. See what you think. The trees of the Bible. The trees of the Bible. I need about 90 seconds here. What do you mean the trees of the Bible? The Bible begins with two trees in the Garden of Eden. Tree of life, tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible ends with a tree. Oh my, there. In the New Jerusalem, there's the tree of life, and its leaves are for the healing of the nations, and it bears 12 kinds of fruit every single month. It starts with a tree, and it ends with a tree, and the most important thing in all of history happened on a tree. What in the world's that? My Savior died on a tree. Getting excited, the trees of the Bible. There was a man behind a tree. Adam, what are you doing? Hiding in the leaf. And there's a man up the tree. Zacchaeus, come down. Salvation's come to your house. And all that happened because of the man on the tree who died for it. I'm looking forward to that. But having read this verse and the Spirit of God, I think, speaking to me, I think I'm going to try to get up a little booklet or something on the wind of the Bible. The winds of the Bible. Y'all reckon that would be possible? I preach faster when you talk to me. And so You say, I don't know where you would go. Remember the wind that brought the storm when Paul was on that ship voyage to Rome? Talk to Jonah about the wind. Somebody say amen. He'd say God can control the wind. Come to think of it, God spoke to Job finally out of a whirlwind. I'm glad I know the God who's the master of the winds. I can't do that every few lines, so pray I can stay on task here. There went forth a wind, verse 31, and it brought, you tell me what it brought. Give me the word. One more time, loudly. Quails from the sea, the birds of the Bible. Quails from the sea. The little word that is used, Hebrew noun for quail, means to be slow, to be sluggish. That's the first lexicon definition I found. How could it mean that? They eat so voraciously. The quail get fat. That's never a good word to use in a sermon. Plump. Robust. Rotund. I think I'll go back to fat. I'm out of synonyms. And they have short little wings. They've never been known to fly high. Slow in the sense of their ability to motivate and fly themselves to another destination. The secondary lexicon definition means, I already gave it away, it does mean plump. They are the tastiest of all the game birds in the Bible. God's going to give them some quail. It's going to taste good for a while. But did you know this? Nobody's going to believe it. You can even get too much banana pudding if you don't know when to quit eating that stuff. God's going to send them the quails. The quails. Let's see. Oh, by the way, quails in America do not migrate. But the quail in Europe and Asia, they're migratory birds. When they lay their eggs, they lay 15, 20 little eggs in a nest. They're ground birds for the most part. And those hatch. They grow exponentially. Oh my, a covey. I mean untold numbers. And when they get ready to migrate, they all take off en masse. And they begin to fly. This would be flying up from Egypt, across the Red Sea, out through the desert, and here are the Jews. But remember, the quail don't fly real good, and they soon run out of strength. Multitudes of them are known to fall into the ocean and drown. There is one ancient record I want to tell you about. There was a sailing vessel in the middle of the Red Sea. Here comes droves of quail. They're tired. They're given out. And they begin to land all over the sailing vessel. More and more and more. And the vessel begins to go down and down. And the vessel sank under the weight, the massive weight of those multitudes of quail. The little sparrow last night weighs 1 ounce. 1 ounce. A quail will outweigh a sparrow. Again, they are for eating. They are enjoyable. Here come the quail. Look, I need to get back to my verse. And the quails from the sea, and God let them fall by the camp. God let them fall by the camp. Here's what it looks to me like happened, and it's a miracle. Here they come, huffing and puffing. Thousands of them, tens of thousands, maybe millions of them. And we'll see why I would assume that in a minute. And they come and they finally make it to the shore. They finally make, and it says, and God, oh, I've lost my verb. And God let them fall by the camp. Literally means God dropped them. God dropped them. Those quail, they're not simply flying under the power of their own strength. They're flying, will I get an amen, under the control of Almighty God. Boy, I hope and pray I'm not preaching under the power of my own strength tonight. If so, ever bit of this will be a miserable failure. I'll go home a discouraged preacher. Oh my, I hope God's touch, God's power is upon this. I hope God will convict me and some of y'all of grumbling and complaining and disparaging the good manna he sent us and wanting the flesh of the world. I hope God's got his hand on this, and I hope he won't let me go tonight and drop me. What he did to the quail, they're falling. They're falling all over the ground. Oh, let's see. I'm in verse 31, I think. As it were, God let them fall, as it were a day's journey on this side, a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp. You know how long a day's journey is? I think I told you last night or the night before. 20 miles. 20 miles of quail this way. 20 miles of quail that way. That's 40 linear miles of quail. See if I get an amen. That's a lot of flesh. God says you want meat, huh? You really want meat? You like meat? You don't care for the manna? I can give you meat. That's exactly what God is doing. You know what? There could be somebody in the building tonight, and you'd say, Preacher Bagwell, I don't. I've been preaching 42 minutes. I don't understand. You're saying God gave them what they wanted, and God gave them more than what they wanted. That's one of God's judgments upon sin. I'm just going to speak plainly. Let's say that I decide I don't want to go by God's laws of morality. Let's say that I want to play the field, and I'd be stupid, I'd get me a girlfriend or two, and then another and another, and I was immoral with them. Listen, the wages of sin is death. Amen. But listen to this. See if I get an amen. The wages of sin is more sin. If you sin and God stops you, God just hinders you, God restrains you, God convicts you, you are a blessed individual. Where you need to be scared if you sin and God doesn't stop you and God doesn't convict you and God doesn't hinder you, God lets you sin and sin and sin and sin, you are on your way. I'll need an amen to reprobation, ladies and gentlemen. Wages of sin is more. We want a king, said Israel. We want a king. We're tired of God being our ruler. We want, like the Ammonites and the Perizzites, like all these other heathen, we want a king. And God says, you want a king? You really want a king? Have I got one picked out for you? I'll just give you King Saul. And they didn't have King Saul too long till they figured out they really didn't need a king in the first place. God gave them what they wanted. And that's exactly what's going on here. I'm at the end of verse 31. I cannot get out of verse 31. And as it were two cubits high upon the face of the earth. Everybody in the building knows this. A cubit is 18 inches. From your elbow, 18 inches, roughly. Two cubits with 18 and 18. That's a yard. Two cubits high. There are two ideas on the two cubits high. Dr. Schofield says the birds came in and they were so tired they never fly high. They were two cubits high, and the Jews were able just to knock them down, eat all that they wanted to, and that could be a viable interpretation. But it is also possible, and the Hebrew allows it, they were piling up in piles 3 feet tall. all over the place. One writer, who's a literalist, I sort of lean that way myself, believes it was 3 feet of quail for 20 miles that way, 20 miles that way, somewhere around the William Gladstone, former Prime Minister of England, a godly man. He said it's over 90 million birds, over 90 million quail. I got to say it again. Boy, are they going to have a buffet tonight. Tired of the manna. We want some meat. We want some flesh. You know what I'm afraid is happening in America? I'm afraid we're getting sick and tired of the manna of the Word of God. We're beginning to demand other things to take its place. What I'm doing tonight would not be allowed in many a church. I'm probably at 50 minutes of preaching. I'll be done by 60-minute mark. I'll be done when it gets that. I try not to ever preach it. But you know how many churches they won't let you preach 60 minutes? Now, I had a fellow, he told me, he said, now, Brother Back, we're glad you're here. Said, we're through by noon. We're through by noon, Sunday morning. I thought, you might usually be through by noon, son, but you ain't going to make it today. You'll do good to be through by one, young man. And but you know, everything worked out all right. I have begun preaching at churches that did not have a clock on the wall the first night. I've done a lot for the clock industry in America. But they had them won by the last night. And that's not, I'm telling you, and I'm not saying the sermon's got to be long to be meaty. And buddy, I've heard some men preach 15 minutes, feed my soul, encourage my, but if we substitute the Word of God for entertainment, if we substitute the Word of God for this worldly music, if we substitute the Word of God for anything else, that's the same thing as grumbling about the manna God rains. I don't preach in a lot of First Baptist churches. The little First Baptist church in Illinois, God let us go to for years and years and years. But you all are about the most unusual First Baptist church I've ever seen in all my life. You let me stand on the pew. I've been spitting all over the place down here. I'm sorry, Brother Gunn. I just can't help it. And you act like you're enjoying it. You act like you want me to go on. Hey, I like the manna myself. Thank you. I don't want anything different. I don't want anything to change. Give me the saith the Lord. And I want to say something about the singing at First Baptist Church, Fletcher, North Carolina. I like it. I like them old songs of Zion. I like it when somebody stands up there and the microphone won't do right. The cord won't come loose. Didn't lose his cool. Just as kind as he could be. Singing about my Jesus. Playing about my Savior. Hallelujah. I appreciate you. I don't want the flesh of the world. Give me old manna singing. Let's go a little further into the text, verse 32. The people stood up all that day. They're gathering the quail all that night, all the next day. They gathered the quails. He that gathered the least gathered 10 homers. And what in the world's a homer? The qualification, specification of a homer varies, but it is at least 10 gallons, but it could easily be 100 gallons, depending on the authority. They gathered more than they could eat. Let me tell you what they're guilty of. I need an amen. They're guilty of gluttony right here. Just because it's there don't mean you got to eat it all. Flesh, flesh, flesh. I'm afraid American Christianity is going that direction. Flesh, flesh, flesh. Give me what appeals to my senses. Give me what Give me what soothes my conscience. Don't tell me about sin. Tell me about how good I am and all of that. Oh, God, keep us satisfied with your manna. Verse 33. While the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against this people, and the Lord smote. The verb literally means to slay, to kill. The Lord smote the people with a very great plague, with a very great plague. Would you listen to me? God's wrath is falling. God's judgment is falling. Why is he being so hard on his people here? And they are, for the most part, his people. He's being hard on them because he will not allow his word to be made light of, to be mocked, to be despised. Thank God for the book tonight. And all of this began with a spirit of grumbling and murmuring and complaining. I need to read one more verse. I'll not bother with verse 35, but I would like to read 34. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hataava, Kibroth Hataava, because there they buried the people that lusted. That's a blended word. It means graves and it means lust. Graves of those who lusted. Graves of those who... I'm glad God don't kill everybody that grumbles today. Could I get an amen? I'm glad God doesn't kill us when we err, when we drift, and a lot of us have done it wanting the things of the world. I must close. Flesh or manna? Flesh or manna? I was just a lad. I was in Bible college. Tennessee Temple College back then. Dr. Lee Robertson, president. And got a job at a Winn-Dixie store. It's been that long. Winn-Dixie pretty well covered the Southeast. Gave me a job bagging groceries. Then they let me start stocking the groceries, putting the cans on the shelves. And then they let me start running the cash register. I made $1.30 an hour. That's how long ago it's been. And I was born in 1946. Do the math. That's all I know to tell you. One night, about 8 o'clock, a man came by. I didn't know him. I knew he worked at the store. His name was Johnny. That's all I recall. He was the meat manager. He's the one that ground up the ground beef back then. They did it there at the store. And he said, "Are you the young preacher boy they've hired?" I said, "Yes, sir. I believe so." I knew I was a preacher boy, but I didn't know if they'd hire anymore. I said, "Yes." He said, "I've got something I want to give you." He said, "I've cleared it with the store manager. It's got preacher on it. Back in the cooler, you go get it when you get off." Something the meat manager was going to get. Are y'all listening to my story? "Oh, I'm leaving something out. I was a country-born, South Carolina-bred boy that L-O-V-E-D that loved bologna." Now, somebody told me I'm saying it wrong, but it was bologna in the Bagwell house. Round. It is meat. Every day in school, first grade on, Mama packed me in my little lunchbox 2 bologna sandwiches. I took mine with mustard. Others like mustard for me. Little handful of potato chips and a thermos with some chocolate milk in it. Boy, when lunchtime came, I was in good shape. I'd say my little blessing, eat my 2 bologna sandwiches and my chips, and drink my chocolate milk. Oh, I felt like I was enjoying life to the fullest. I loved baloney. Oh, back to the meat market, man. Took that home that night and we opened it up. This is what it said on the package. Rib eye steak. Y'all hear me? Rib eye steak. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I'd never heard of it. Rib eye steak. We put one on and cooked it. I think we had a little baked potato and some lettuce, a little salad. Ribeye steak. There's several of them in that container he gave me. So we had another one the next night. And the next night, it really is tasty meat, ribeye steak. Since I acquired a taste for ribeye steak, bologna ain't been the same since. I cannot acquire my love for bologna again. I'm sure it'll do the job. Y'all, now why'd he tell that silly story? The world has got nothing to offer. The flesh of Egypt is not a thing in the world, hope I get an amen, but a bunch of bologna. But if you ever get into the Word of God, let me hold it, son. If you ever get a taste of Genesis through Revelation, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's ribeye steak. No. It's a whole lot better than ribeye steak. You'll never be the same again. It ought to destroy your love for the things of the world. I don't want to gobble down that junk. I don't want to grumble and complain against my Heavenly Father. I want to stay true to the manna. Hallelujah. And all God's people, I hope, said, amen. It all starts with the mixed multitude. Be sure you're saved tonight. Be sure you're living for Him tonight. Then it spreads to the people of God. Don't be a grumbler. Don't be guilty of unbelief and ingratitude. Don't complain. Do all things without murmuring. And disputings. I got a look. I'm at 57 minutes. I'm going to keep my word to you. Murmurings, the Greek there is onomatopoeic. The Greek sounds like its definition. Murmurings. It has a Latin background as well. To murmur, murmur. Gun, I'm going to illustrate for you. See if you figure it out. It's gossip. It's complaining. It's slandering somebody. And they just kept hearing that murr, 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 murr. It happens in Baptist churches too, ladies and gentlemen. Murr, murr, murr. It can happen in any area of life. Murmur, and they picked up the word murmurings, murmurings. I want to be a happy Christian. I want to be a joyful Christian. I want to be a praising God Christian. I don't want to be a grumbling Christian. It can lead to some dastardly consequences. It can lead to the judging hand of God upon our lives. Would you stand with us across the congregation? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, our musicians are coming. I've asked God to help me tonight. This is a hard text, I think, to get the message across, but I'm praying the Holy Ghost will bear witness in your heart and in my heart as well. I wonder if there's an honest Christian, and there are many here. I'm not doubting that. You'd say, Preacher Bagwell, I'd like a minute at the altar. I want to come before my Lord tonight, and I want to ask Him to help give me victory over complaining, victory over murmuring. I want to ask Him to give me a praiseworthy, joyful spirit down within my heart. They're going to play, but I just want to invite you to come on now. And we'll not prolong the service if you sense God's directing you in that area. I wonder if there could be somebody here tonight. You could say, "Preacher, there's something I want. I want it real bad. I've asked God for it. He's not answered. I still want it. I'm not going to take." Be careful you don't want something too much. Be careful you don't make something obsessive in your life. Be careful that you can sing and mean it. "I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold." You do what He leads you to do here this evening. I wonder if there might be somebody who'd say, "Preacher, I'm guilty of not loving and treasuring the manna of the Word of God like I once did. I want to get back in love with the Scriptures." Jesus quoted the verse in His temptation experience. He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8. "Man shall not live by food alone, by bread alone. Man shall not live by flesh alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of an almighty God." Oh, to eat His word. Job and Jeremiah, "Thy words were found, Lord, and I did eat them. They were as my necessary food. Thy words were found, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart." Somebody fall in love with Bible study again. Somebody fall to, you can't grumble and study your Bible and learn from it, not at the same time. Oh, God, work in our midst and in our hearts, we pray. I believe He's here tonight. I believe He's speaking to our hearts. God, make us satisfied with Thee. Make us content with our Savior and the Word He has so graciously, the manna He's so graciously given us. You pray when you're through praying. Of course you can return to your pew. Could be somebody lost. Okay, let's sing one verse if we could, brother. Somebody don't know Jesus. I got good news for you. Hope I get an amen. There's some manna here tonight. I say there's some manna here tonight. The Word of God, it'll show a sinner how to be born again if you don't know Him. Could be somebody part of the mixed multitude. You just don't know Jesus. You're running with the right crowd, but you've never had an experience of grace. If you'll come, you can do something about it while we sing together. Just one stanza. Thank you for using the altar. Some are still praying. Hallelujah. Be sure you've obeyed Him. Sing it with us. We know it. Anybody need Him tonight? Recently I asked that, and a young mama, three little kids at her skirt tail, came to the altar and got saved. A couple weeks ago I asked it, and a man sitting way in the back came and wept his way to Jesus. He'll save you. You come. He won't cast you out. He's not willing that you should perish. Sing it. Let me hear you. Tenderly. You may be seated where you are just very quickly. As a congregation, You have read the Birds of the Bible booklet 25 times, but that does not include tonight. Quickly, let me count tonight's total. Folks are still praying, and we'll do this reverently. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Honey, 16 in this section. Brother Roy, start us. 1, 2, 5, 7, 8, 9, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 18, 23, 24, 25, 27, 28, 30, 32. Boy, this side's tearing it up. 36, 37, 39, 40, 43. Honey, 43 in this section. All right, Brother Gentry, start us. Got four, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 13, 15, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, honey, in the next section, way over, hey, we've got some over here tonight, 2, 5, 6, 9, 10, over in this section. What are you doing, preacher? 35 minutes of Bible reading, a little book called The Birds of the Bible. Total for tonight is 91 times. How many of you use the CD? Let me see your hands. How many of you read it in the booklet? Let me see your hands. All right, about evenly divided, maybe a few more for the booklet, to the glory of God. Our total so far, 114 times and 12,467 verses read. Going to need an amen. And we're going to read some more tomorrow. Oh, that ain't going to work. We're going to read some more tomorrow. Amen. If you don't have the booklet, Debbie, raise your hand, honey. She's got the booklets. Or if you'd rather have a CD, you're welcome to get them after the service. Thank y'all for listening to a long-winded preacher talk about the sin of grumbling. Who wants to do that? But it was the Word of God. Hallelujah. Come on, preacher. Thank you, sir, so much.